Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohannon, and with me as always is Jay Thorne. What is going on, dude?
Hey, man. Every time I hear you start that, I'm expecting to hear the Horror Writers Podcast.
Still? Really?
I know. I don't know why. I just thought of that. Like, I could hear that in my head as you're saying the Career Author Podcast.
Here, let's try something else. Here, hold on. Let me start. Hello, Metal.
Hello, Pedal.
You're supposed to say hello, Metal.
Oh. I can't keep all that shit straight.
It's fine. I don't really consider myself Pedal, but Rachel is way, way, way cuter than I am. So it's all good. But so how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Yeah.
Okay, cool story. All right, so today on the show, just make it as awkward as possible. So you don't want to have any pre-show banter today?
I don't know. Like, I just, sometimes I have it and sometimes I don't. And I don't know. Do you have some pre-show banter you want to banter around?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. So you just wanted me to carry the weight then?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was kind of the plan.
Like, get Jay to talk so I can mentally tune out for a few seconds.
Well, I mean, you know, we just talked off air, obviously, and I've had a weird morning because I went car shopping and ended up buying a car. So I'm like, and literally sat down and was like, okay, we have to record because Jay has a hard stop today. So I was like, okay, so I'm like still mentally trying to get into my you know, so it's like, but this is a way cooler work to have to get back into than like other what I was doing before. So
yeah, no one was screaming at you to get back to work.
So. Absolutely. Not, they wouldn't have there, but I know what you're saying though.
So yeah.
Like, you know. But so today on the show, we're going to talk about the state of audiobooks for fiction, and Jay's kind of going to have a fun spin on this, I suppose, based on some stuff that you've done recently and some places you've visited. So But we'll do some housekeeping before then. And, you know, we want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by our patrons over at patreon.com. And we've got a lot of really cool bonuses, a lot of cool stuff we do over there. And, so you can be, you can have access to all that for as little as $1 a month. And that includes things like our movie analysis episode, which this month we're going to be doing Interview with the Vampire, which will be fun, coming off our very controversial Princess Bride episode last month, which, if you know, you'll get access to all our backlog too, like all the ones we've done up until now, as well as we also do an Amazon product page makeover every month where we look at someone's Amazon product page of one of their books and we talk about their cover and their genre and their product, like everything, the description, their also bots. We look at the whole thing and, like, you know, give some advice on some things we would do better or point out things they're doing really well. So, you can check out all that over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And Jay, why don't you go ahead and give a shout out to some of our new patrons we've got this week?
Yeah, we want to thank Claire Chandler, Ian J. Middleton, and Sandy Hutchins. These are all our new patrons, and really appreciate that. Appreciate all the support. And if you're a little skittish about Patreon or you're not really sure what it is or it looks confusing, it's really easy. And and really, if you want to help support us and contribute and be part of this community that we're building here, it's just $1 a month. Like, you know, it's not a lot, it's not a big commitment. And so if you're considering it but Patreon's kind of scared you off, I promise it's not difficult to navigate, and hopefully you'll give it a shot.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're building up a big library of content over there for, you know, anyone who comes in. So, you know, we've been doing these two bonus episodes a month since the beginning. So we're building up, there's a lot of content to go through if you jump in. So,
yeah, those are anywhere from 35 to 55 minutes to an hour each, depending. Yeah. So it's definitely worth it. And I know we've been hearing some good feedback about both of those, you know, the ability to kind of break down film and using story analysis and also to get some great insights on how to optimize your Amazon sales page, all things that really matter to career authors.
Yeah. And also, you know, you make us one step away from throwing a free event for everybody, which is kind of like our big long stretch goal we've got for Patreon, is to throw like a big conference type thing for everybody. So, you know, we work towards that. It'd be a lot of fun. So
I would love to do that.
I would too. It'd be a blast.
Yep.
So cool. So we'll go ahead and move right in to our ways and hacks. Jay's ways and Zach's hacks. I guess me has a hack for you today. That was great grammar. Me has a hack.
It's a good thing you're not a writer.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this car I just bought if I'm talking like that. So today I've got a little hack for you. This is something I went through recently. So I know there's a lot of other people out there like me. Jay's not one of them, because Jay is way more simple than I am. But
simpleton.
In a good way. I'm kind of an app hoard. Like I love trying out different productivity. Like I love trying out different productivity apps. I've tried out like all different kinds of to-do lists and timers and like note-taking apps, like all this different, all this different stuff. So, and I know there's a lot of other people out there like me. And what
like Rachel?
Like Rachel. I know Rachel is one of them.
Yep.
I've heard Rachel mention apps on their show, and I've been like, oh, I got it. Like, I remember like one is Pocket. Like she mentioned Pocket. Like, oh, that's awesome. I'm gonna go check out Pocket. Still have it on my phone. But what ends up happening is you end up with digital clutter. Like you end up with all these different like apps on your phone, and some of them you might be surprised to even see that you've never opened, which I'll kind of get into here in a second. But I wanted to kind of give a hack today about something I did recently that kind of helped me clean up some of that clutter. So the first thing, and I love this, I want to give a shout out to our buddy Kevin Tomlinson over at Drafted Digital. That totally sounds sponsored, but it's not. So this Zach's hack is not brought to you by Draft Digital, but Kevin's a buddy of ours and a really good guy. And Kevin's also like he's real big into the whole minimalist movement. He lived, him and his wife like lived out of a camper for a while and stuff. So, but I saw him put this thing up on Facebook one day where he said that he was like tired of all these apps on his phone. So what he did was, he put every single app in his phone in one folder. So he made one folder, he put every app in there. So when he went to use an app, he would, when he knew, like say he needed to go to his Gmail or whatever, he would, when he went to use the app, he would pull it out first of the folder. After a month, everything that was left in that folder, he deleted. Because he figured, if I don't need it after a month, why is it on my phone? So, and I actually took it a step further. And if I don't know what it's, if you're an Android user, but I'm sure there's something like this, but I know on the iPhone that you can actually look at, it'll tell you like when you installed an app and all that stuff, it'll tell you how many times you've opened it or not how many times you opened it, but the last time you opened it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had apps that literally said, you've never opened this. Last time you opened was like 6 months. So I started and I was like, everything I haven't opened in a month, I just went ahead and deleted. And it made like, it really cleaned things up. And I say all this because, you know, another thing I ended up doing was I was using, I use Google Calendar, and then I would use Evernote for all my note taking stuff. And then I would use a Wunderlist for my to-do list. And it's like, I have all these different apps, all these different places I have to go. Well, I end up realizing too, that like Google has all that.
Yeah. So, like, all that functionality.
They have all of it. I decided, I'm like, I'm not, instead of using Evernote, which Evernote's great and it does have more functionality than Google Keep does. But for me, like Google Keep does everything I need to do. And it's all tied into my one Google account and I can just easily access it anywhere, either with an app or web-based. The same thing with like to-do lists. Like I can do the to-do list on Google Keep. Like Google Keep allows you to do to-do list or take notes and stuff, and you can sort the notes. Like I said, it's not quite as in depth as Evernote, but I didn't need that. Like I didn't need all the stuff Evernote offers. And it's totally free. Like, and Evernote is free, but there's a premium you have to pay as well, you know? Same thing with Dropbox. Like, I was using Dropbox. But then moved everything to Google Drive.
Yep.
Like, I'm just going to put everything in Google, you know, and Google Drive is a little bit cheaper. Well, I should say it's cheaper, but they've had an extra option in that technically like is better if you don't need a terabyte of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. Like, I love Scrivener. But like, because of what you and I do, like I haven't used Scrivener in a while. I've just been writing in Google Docs. Like,
yeah, me neither.
And now I don't know if you've seen this, but now they've put Grammarly beta in Google Docs. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
So now like Grammarly is starting to work with Google Docs.
Huh.
So I'm like, that's pretty sweet because now I just have Grammarly, which I'm paying for the premium.
Right.
Like it's in Google Docs. So I can just use that in there instead of having to use it. Like, cause on the Mac too, the Grammarly doesn't work with Word. So I know it does on PC, but it doesn't on Mac. So I would have to like use the Grammarly app and copy and paste stuff. My point is though, is that I've pretty much gone to Google for everything and it's just made like, it's just easier to keep track of stuff, you know? Right. Hopefully that's a couple, like for you out there who are app hoarders like I am and have digital clutter, like hopefully those things will help you kind of clean that stuff up a little bit. Cause it definitely helps. It makes a big difference.
Oh, it's just forcing you to be mindful about the apps that you're using regardless Absolutely. Of how many you have.
And it goes back to what you always like to say about like, you just use the right tool that you need. Like, you mm-hmm. know, you don't now if there's a tool out there that's better, like for instance, okay, this is the first time we're recording a podcast on Zoom, which makes no difference to anybody listening.
Right.
But Skype really wasn't working for us anymore. So we moved to Zoom. Like, so mm-hmm. it's a better tool for the job.
Yeah.
But like, I'm kind of done like going out and looking for a better tool all the time and just trying all this different stuff. It's like Google does what I need for now. Like I'm just going to stick with that for pretty.
Yeah. Things. Yeah.
Anything you want to add on that?
No, that was great. I think that whole key about like putting them all in there and then pulling them out one at a time as you use them will really force you to be mindful.
Yeah. Kevin, you might know this, but I know he also did that with his house.
Yeah.
But he put everything in a box. He put like stuff in boxes and put the date on it. And then after a year, if he didn't open that box, mm-hmm. he just took the box and donated it. He didn't even open it to check what was in it. That's hardcore.
Yeah. But, yeah, it is.
but anyways, so thanks, Kevin, for that tip on digital clutter.
Nice.
So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and roll on into our main topic today. And this was your idea. We'll go and be transparent. So, I don't know why it matters for being transparent about topic, but usually I'm the one that likes talking about audiobooks and stuff. So it's different for you, but you have a reason because you recently went with Jim Kukral, the gentleman. You guys recently went and visited Findaway Voices, correct?
That's right. Their headquarters is in Solon, Ohio, which is pretty close to us here. And it was a great visit. Kelly and his team they're fantastic. They always treat us well. And I know this soft launch has been out. I think Joanna's already talked about it. I know Jim and Brian have talked about it on Sell More Book Show. It's not breaking news, but I think our conversation's going to go in a little different place than theirs did. And I've listened to all theirs, so I know for a fact that's going to happen. So if you are tuning in now and thinking, I already heard about this, stick around because, I think it's going to be interesting. And I'll say too that, everything that I'm going to say here, I kind of said to Kelly and his team at Findaway. So they're not sponsors and we're not affiliates. So there's no formal connection between this podcast and Findaway Voices, but we really like the spirit of what Findaway is doing the same way we love what Kobo's doing and Drafted Digital's doing and BookFunnel is doing.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Jim and I went to visit and we got the tour and then they showed us the Authors Direct program, which hadn't been rolled out yet. And we were just kind of going through it and it was really fascinating. So I thought One of the things we could do is I'll run through very quickly what the program is, because I don't know if all the specifics were mentioned on the other podcasts, and some of them I heard were slightly incorrect, but I won't call them out on that. I'll go through the specifics.
I totally just said that for... I should have blamed Brian. Brian Cohen, you don't know... I'm just kidding.
Or Britt, blame Joanna. I don't know. No, I think she's coming to it.
Joanna will never listen to this, so, and Brian's way cool to listen to it. We'll just blame him.
Jim won't listen either. Just take shots at everybody.
Take shots at all of them, whatever.
All right, so here's the program. This is a soft launch, which means it's available, but only certain authors are in it right now. They find a way. We'll be opening it up to all authors, but it's not there yet. So if you're interested, you got to just kind of hang in there. But it's basically a way for you to sell audiobooks directly to your readers. That's the bottom line. And what it means is that you get 70% of the royalties. You get to totally control the price, which you cannot do with Audible and ACX. You can sell directly via Spotify. So Findaway is partner with Spotify, where you get a dedicated, Shopify.
Spotify. That would be cool.
That would be different. Sell directly via Shopify, and you get your own Shopify page. You can also embed any of the products onto your existing websites. If you don't want to use a Shopify page, it would work seamlessly with WordPress or anything else that you've got. And the way it works is Findaway has a free app. And I forget what it might just be called Authors Direct, or I forget what the app is called, but it's a free app on iTunes and for Droid. And basically any reader who purchases directly through Authors Direct would get the book delivered to the app. So they would purchase it through you as the author and through your webpage or your Shopify page, but then it would be delivered to the free app. So that's kind of how it works. Now on the app, there are no ads, no upsells. You can listen offline, so you can kind of download the book to your device if you're going to be off the grid. You have speed control. It's compatible with Chromecast. And one of the ways that they get around they're doing this legit, but the way they're not having to pay the licensing fee to Google Play or to iTunes is because the app is free. So it's just a delivery and reading mechanism. That's all it is. You can't purchase through the app.
Got it.
And there are a few, maybe we'll have these in the show notes. There are two authors who they rolled out with, Rachel Amphlett and Shadana Richards, who have a page up. I think one of them is the Shopify page and one is the existing author's website where it's embedded. So you'll be able to take a look at both of those. So it was pretty exciting. And they were kind of going through explaining how it works. They basically, you sell direct, but because they're taking 30%, that covers all the transaction fees, the VAT taxes, all the legal communications, privacy policies, all that stuff, sort of like the way KDP does for ebook. So if you sell directly, you don't have to have your own, credit card processing thing set up or whatever. They're really making a go. Like they really want to try to go at the ACX Audible beast, and this is the first step. And they said it's just the first step. They have other things in the works, but this is sort of that first moment for them of putting the stake in the ground and claiming like we're in this fight, we're in this battle, and that's the overview. So Zach, I wondered, like, when you heard this story, what was your initial impression or initial thoughts about it?
I think it's cool. I mean, I've been really hesitant, and I know everyone goes against this advice, but I've been really hesitant to move away from exclusivity from ACX. When a lot of people say, no, you shouldn't be exclusive to ACX. But my whole thing is that when you're exclusive to ACX, you're still with the big players in the audiobook mm-hmm. market, and you get more royalties out of it. You get more money but you're on Audible, you're on iTunes, which are kind of the big players in the audiobook market right now. And it's a 7-year commitment. And that's scary to a lot of people, because who knows what it's going to happen in 7 years when you put a book up, but I think that if you are choosing not to go exclusive, and I'm starting to feel like that might be a good way to go on some stuff, then I don't see why you wouldn't do this. I think this is a great option, to sell direct. Now there's obviously there's obviously issues that I know, and these are probably what you asked them about. Like, I mean, you know, one of the big things about Audible is the discoverability part. Like, people aren't coming to your website to shop a bunch of audiobooks.
Well, correct.
You know, like, so, but if you are someone who has a large fan base, like, this could really be great for you. Like, you know, to where you don't maybe necessarily need the discoverability. And your book, the thing is too, you can do this and have your book on Audible. So mm-hmm. it's not like you're restricted just to this, but I think people got to be really careful about thinking like, I'm just going to put my book direct and people are going to come to my website and buy it. Like, it's going to take some work to get the traffic there. Now, again, if you do, great, you'll make a little more money, and you can still have your book on Audible and stuff, like I said. You know, and I think them having an app, like, that's really cool, because that's been one of the biggest issues of selling direct, because before it was like people just download an MP3 on your website. And I'm sorry, but no one wants to do that. Like,
yeah, that's a hassle, and people won't.
Yeah. And as an audiobook listener, like, I don't want to listen to an MP3 on a MP3 player app, because right. I want to be able to pick that book back up later and it know where I was in the app, which is what Audible does.
Right.
But I still think there's a challenge there, because, like, you know, not a lot of off, like, there's not going to be many, I mean, comparatively to Audible and stuff, there's not going to be a ton of people who have this, are selling their books this way. So as a reader, like, if you want to buy it, it actually goes back to my hack a little bit. Like, you would have to have two audiobook apps on your phone, because you're probably going to have a lot of stuff on Audible or on iTunes or whatever, but then you might just have a few books in this library, which some people might not mind, but for some people, like, they might just want to have everything in their Audible app.
Right.
You know, so, like, I love what Findaway is doing. And I think that, like, having the app, like I said, is a great solution for selling direct. Cause I think that that does knock down a big barrier. Like, as an audiobook listener, I would consider buying a book from somebody direct now that I know there's an app I could go listen to it on, you know? But, like, another question I guess I have is, are they, like, on, and I haven't looked at the Shopify page, but, like, are there pretty clear instructions to the listener about, like, the app they would have to download, and, like, letting them know there's an app for it? Like, because you have to communicate that to the customer and make sure they know all that stuff, you know, so they're not buying it from you and then trying to open it in their Audible app, which, believe me, people will do.
Yep.
You know? So,
you know, it looks like that has to come out. That comes post sale, because all I'm seeing is a sales page with an add to cart. So I would hope that there is some direction after you make the purchase that would direct you to the app.
And if I was doing this, I would, like, if I was selling on there, like, I would probably try to find a way to make it known to the customer before they buy that yeah, there's mm-hmm. going to be a specific app you can download. Cause then otherwise, cause that's a question I would ask if I was going to buy it. Well, how the hell do I listen to this thing if I buy it?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that, I think that's important to communicate.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I mean, this is way further than anyone else I've seen go with audiobooks direct, and they're just getting started.
Right.
So, so I'm excited to see where it goes. Cause, like I said, I'm really open to not being direct through Audible. Cause it, you know, it does kind of suck that you can't control your pricing and stuff, but at the same time, like, I understand why Audible's doing that, because they're trying to protect their Audible membership, and they don't want the same thing happen with eBooks, where they have a bunch of 99-cent audiobooks out there, you know?
Right.
So, because they want to sell their memberships, their subscriptions, which is start at $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I do kind of understand, but it would be nice if I wish Audible did give you some kind of control, like, set the minimum at, like, $15 or something, you know? Yeah. Like, and then, so I don't know, like, but this is cool to see, though, so... For sure.
Yeah. I think there were, it is. And I, you know, Jim and I were really excited about this. And I think, though, there are a few things that you have to consider, and this part gets lost. Like, I hear a lot of bitching and moaning about the 7-year deal with ACX, but if you don't do that, what that means is you have to pay out of pocket for your narrator.
Yeah.
So how many authors are going to be able to afford to pay out of pocket I don't know what, $6,000-$8,000. Maybe it's not that much, but
there's a lot of variables there.
But there is, but like the point is, like, you can't, like, that's why we're going in 7-year deals, because we get the royalty split with a narrator. If we had to pay out of pocket, we wouldn't be producing audiobooks right now on our own.
Yeah.
And I think that, so it, on one hand, while I think the Authors Direct is definitely moving in the right direction, the only authors who are going to take advantage of that right now are the ones who can afford to produce them on their own.
Yeah.
Or read them themselves. And I think that's a really small percentage of authors.
And for us, like, I mean, we're not making, like, I know there's a lot of authors who are doing really good with audiobooks, but like, we're not doing that great, you know? I mean, so, but for us, it's a long-term play. Like, because we know that popularity of audiobooks is only going to rise. And so like, our sales will get better, you know? But you're right. Like right now, like if we had to pay out of pocket for all of them, it'd be hard to do. And luckily we've been able to find some good narrators who are still willing to do a royalty share. Cause I mean, that's kind of going away too. Like a lot of narrators aren't willing to do that now, you know? But even with that, there's ways you can work around to still make it cheaper. Like you can offer a bonus you pay out of pocket or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It still makes it cheaper. But I agree with you. Like that's something that doesn't get brought up enough, you know? And, like find a way, and they don't have that option, so it's all out of pocket up front. So you know that is something definitely to consider. So
yeah, and you know, I said this in the meeting room. I'm like, I gotta commend you guys. This is a bold move. This is a big risk for better and worse. Like I admire the chance that they're taking here, but I also recognize. I think I even said, like, man, you guys are in for the fight of your lives. Like you're taking on ACX Audible, like the only player in the audiobook market. And I think what worries me a little bit is that they're doing that on the backs of standalone author web pages. And you brought that up already, but like this, you know, I think in my own opinion, it's just my opinion, I think the relevancy of the author website has been rapidly declining.
I agree.
I think it's almost pointless now. I mean, not totally, but almost. And so I think to be able to drive not only enough traffic to the website to begin with, but then to convert that traffic into the highest marked up product you have, being audiobooks, and selling those directly, and asking the consumer to install a new app to do that. Oof, I don't know. I mean, I hope it works. I hope they, you know, may take a shot at it, but man, I don't know.
Did they mention anything to you about actually having a marketplace?
They did not sound like at this time that was something they were actively working on.
Cause that would be different, because if it was somewhere where someone could go and shop genres, and because seriously, like if for this to work, like either you need to be sending traffic there and doing marketing and stuff to get people to come buy your audiobook off your site, or like people have to actively come to your site wanting to buy it. Like it's not, you know, and when I buy an audiobook, just the way I am now, like I go on Audible and I shop, and I'm not necessarily looking for specific authors. Like sometimes I am.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm just looking for books.
Right.
So like in specific, like genres and stuff like that. So that's an uphill battle, you know, but again, like I do want to preface so I don't get yelled at. Like if you aren't exclusive, I don't see a downside to do, and you're going to get your audiobooks produced anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't see a downside to doing this.
Like, I'll tell you, I would jump on this if I had a robust nonfiction platform and I was doing a ton of courses and speaking, and I had nonfiction titles that I would narrate myself, whether I paid a local studio to produce them or whether I did it in my own office. That would be the person I'd be signing up yesterday. I would be begging, find a way to get on the list, because then I think, and maybe this gets into sort of the other question I wanted to ask you, which is not necessarily find a way specific, but we've been talking about audiobooks for a long time, and I know you're a big consumer of them and a big proponent of them, and we're not seeing it. And even like, you know, in Joanna went through her first and second quarter numbers recently and said that she's not even doing fiction audiobooks anymore because her nonfiction audio is doing tremendously better than fiction. I mean, what What's going on here? What is the state of audiobooks in your opinion? We've been hearing so much about them, but we're not necessarily seeing results.
I think one thing for us personally, like if I, and I can talk about our experience, I do think that, there's a couple things that matter when you're looking at getting an audiobook produced. And if you're someone who hasn't done audiobooks yet, like this is something you should think about. If your ebook is not selling very well, then you probably shouldn't think about doing audio now, because like that's kind of a, if your ebook's doing well, then the audiobook at least has a chance. Okay.
But it's not a guarantee. It's by
not
any
a guarantee.
Means.
Like you can't, there's no formula of like, oh, okay, I'm selling 2,000 copies of this ebook a month. So like I can like, let's assume I'll sell like 30% in audio every, like there's nothing like that. So there's no guarantee. But I, for us personally, I kind of think that the length of our books is probably part of it, because an Audible subscriber pays for the basic subscription, you pay $14.95 a month for a credit, no matter what. Like, so if I buy a book that's 5 hours and I use that credit, it's $14.95. If I buy a Brandon Sanderson's new epic fantasy book that is 48 hours long, it's the $14.95 credit. So I think for us personally, I think a lot of our books are too short. And this is actually one thing I've talked about with our narrator, because my Empty Body series was too, those individual books are too short, but the box sets sell really well.
Yeah.
Like, because when I bundle up three books, it's like a 17-hour audiobook. So yeah. I was actually talking to our audiobook narrator about that for a couple of projects we're working on, where it's like, okay, when we get to the end though, we can do a compilation. And yeah. I bet that compilation will sell better because it's going to be a lot longer, and it's going to be a value because it's like people can use one credit and get a complete trilogy of books.
Yep.
So I think those are things to think about. Like I remember Ed Robertson, man, his, he had a box set do gangbusters on a fantasy trilogy, and it was 75 hours long.
Oh.
And I mean, it was like on the Audible front featured bestseller page forever. And if people don't know who Ed Robertson is, he's an indie author who's had some success with a few series, but he had this fantasy series and it was like, so like that worked really well, you know? So I think for us personally, like, I think that that is good. Now, another thing, now to kind of go back to another thing you said, it doesn't surprise me that Joanna's nonfiction sells a lot better, because I know for me, like, I pretty much don't read nonfiction. I listen to it. Now, I'm the opposite with fiction. I do like listening to fiction, but I'd much rather read it. But I learn things better and absorb them better by listening. So, I'll use a credit on like a 5 or 6 hour nonfiction book. Like the length doesn't matter in much.
Yeah.
It's more about the content. And I would rather listen to that. Like I absorb the information better than I, and I think there's a lot of people like me who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much different than listening to a podcast. It's just a little more,
yeah.
Form, you know? So it doesn't surprise me that Joanna's nonfiction sells better, because I think there's a lot of people out there like me who would prefer to learn by listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, there's a lot of factors. And I do, there are a lot of people who are doing really good with audiobooks, like Chris Fox. Chris Fox does great.
Yeah.
Fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah.
You know? But another issue with it is there's no like BookBub for audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a lot of good ways to promote your audiobooks right now, which I think there are some people working on that, but there hasn't been, and part of that is because you can't go in and discount your books.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of moving issues, but you know, the numbers you see prove that it is growing. But we have to look within our own dome, and like, it really hasn't grown much for us.
Yeah. I just wonder if that growth is skewed towards nonfiction.
Not
just us. I mean, globally, like if that's what's skewing the growth, like maybe it's a 1% growth in fiction and it's, you know, 57% growth in nonfiction. And when you net it out, you know, I don't know, I could be totally wrong there. And I'm sure there's stats out there somewhere, but, I don't know. It's like, I think right now, like I'm still, even though, you know, Authors Direct is a wonderful program, and even though ACX is upping the bounty on, for new users there, I think it's still just a really immature and unstable market. And as you said, until you have either a marketplace other than Audible or a discoverability engine like a BookBub or both, it's going to be hard to count on any of the audiobook stuff. It's going to be hard to count on a return on investment from it for most of us.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that are moving towards where, you know, slowly we're starting to see solutions come into cars where they like the Apple iPlay is built in.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously like no Audible in there yet, but you know, maybe that'll change because, you know, I have to be careful how I say this because I have one in my room, but like the Amazon Echo, like I could totally see it probably turned on. Oh, it didn't. I could see like Amazon getting mm-hmm. that into vehicles, you know, yeah. and that could change the game completely.
Yeah. Right?
Because I listen to audiobooks on my, I have three of those devices in my house and I listen to audiobooks on them all the time.
Mm.
So like if that was in my car and I could just say, you know, Alexa, play Stone the Crows and, you know, and it played that audiobook, then I'd be like, oh, that's that. It's funny how much of a small difference that could make for
yeah.
people, but it could make a difference, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I think the correlation is the difference between listening to a podcast on a website versus listening to it on your phone.
Yeah.
And that completely revolutionized or re-energized podcasting when it, you know, it's been out, podcasting's been around for a long time, but once you were able to listen on your phone with earbuds wherever you go, as opposed to sitting at your desk behind the computer, it changed everything.
Absolutely. So, and you know, with the Echo devices, you don't even have to have an app or anything. You just mm-hmm. say, I want to listen to this. And it starts playing the book from where you left off on your Kindle or on my phone in my car. It doesn't matter. Like it just
right.
playing the book from where I left off. So there's a lot of things in that direction, but you know, maybe now with fiction, it's not. And it's funny because like fiction podcasts, like had gotten so popular.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of the true, I guess the true crime thing is not really fiction, but it was like from a storytelling standpoint.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man, it's interesting. So, and there's obviously a lot of people like find a way and some companies, you know, trying to, you know, Kobo got into audiobooks
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's people trying to do things in the market to help it move forward. So we'll just have to kind of keep our eyes peeled and see what happens.
Cool. All right. That feels like a wrap.
So we just want to remind everybody to, you know, check out all the stuff we're doing over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor and consider contributing there to get all our cool bonus stuff we've got. Also, Night of the Writing Dead is coming up really quick. So, you know, we still got tickets available if you want to join us in Pittsburgh or join us virtually. There's that option as well. So you could check that out at nightofthewritingdead.com or if jumping on a train with us is more your vibe. Authors on a Train is coming up in November. So you can check all the details on that at authorsonatrain.com. Did I get everything?
You got it, man. Sounds good.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're not going to have lawnmowers or anything playing here at the end of this episode. And if you don't know what that means, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
So, go listen to the writers well.
Go listen to the writers well. So, by the way, before we bail, I totally wanted to do this last week and I forgot, but I wanted to send a big congratulations to our friend Rachel Herron, who I wish I meant to do this last week, but she just signed a really, really, really good traditional publishing deal for a thriller that she'd been working her ass off on. And it paid off and she got a really good advance and everything. And, you can go listen to the writers well from, I don't know, Jake can tell you what episode, I don't know, but she
81
basically
81 or 82, something like that.
It's yeah. Like eight, maybe I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's really interesting because she totally broke down. Like she was real transparent. Like this is how much money I got. And she
yeah.
Broke it
yeah.
Down.
If you it's ever awesome. Want to know about what a traditional publishing deal looks like for a really solid mid-lister, you should listen to that episode.
And I mean, when we say it, like it was like Penguin Random House, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she got a really good advance. I won't spoil it here because I want you to listen because it's really interesting. So anyway, so congrats, Rachel. That's awesome. We know you've been working your ass off on that. So, yeah, go check that out. And other than that, we will see you guys next week. So
later.